stand with us this morning? Sunday with us. This is a sort of a song to intro our series. It's The Fight, and I felt no better way to intro The Fight than with a Rocky Balboa reference. So, hey, why don't you say hi to someone around you, welcome them here, and we'll get rolling. Thank you.
before you this morning. We praise you. We thank you. God, we are in struggles and we're in battles and we're in a fight. But Lord, you never let go of us. You walk us through this. And someday there will be a day when all this ends. But until that time, God, we want to fight. We want to be yours. We want to walk with you. We want to be your people. God, we want to be people of grace and truth and life that extends hope, God. Lord, we want to be a generous people. We want to be a generous people in every way, shape, and form. So this morning, God, as we take our offering, as we receive that and give it back to you, God, I pray that our hearts will reflect a generosity and a gratitude for what you've done in our lives. God, I pray that you use every dollar for the advancement of your kingdom. I pray that you're honored, not through just our giving, but our worship, our minds, how we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're saying. God, we want to honor you in every part of who we are. So God, thank you. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for loving us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue to worship together.
Come in here, and we're all at different places. Some of us really need God right now, and some of us are really blessed, and we just want to offer our praise to God this morning. And so I'm going to offer up a prayer here in just a moment. It's going to be just a couple sentences, that's it. But what I want you to do this morning is wherever you're at, whatever's on your heart, whatever is eating at you right now in this moment, I want to lift that up to God because he is above all else and he is Lord over all and he can take care of us. He is big enough to take care of us. So I'm going to pray, and whatever that is on your heart, if you want to speak that out, do that. If it's just on your mind, just speak it out as I say these words. God, today, I need your presence. I need to feel you in this place today, God. For I am weak and you are strong. God, I know I'm broken and I know I live in sin, but Lord, use me today. Use us today, God. We are your army. I know who goes before me, and I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Have a seat. If you're here when the service started, you heard the first song, and this morning as that took place, my daughter, who is 10 years old, was standing next to me, and she said, "Dad, that's not a church song, is it?" No, it's not. It purveys exactly, it communicates exactly what we're talking about, and that is the fight, that we're in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a fight, and sometimes I think that we miss out on that, or we don't understand it because we don't truly understand that we have an enemy. Now, I know there are relationships sometimes that get strained and stressed, and those can feel pretty difficult, or maybe there's somebody at work just doesn't like you, people who are even trying to, I talked with some folks who go to church here, they felt like there were some guys at their workplace who was trying to get them fired, they didn't like them so much. And so we have that kind of an enemy, I think, where people may not like us in the moment, or like what's happened, or something that's done. But the truth is, I don't know that we really understand that there's an enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy. And if you're a part of the military and maybe served in active duty, first of all, we thank you for your service in that. But most likely, you may have an understanding that the rest of us don't, of what it means to truly be in a place where there's an enemy who wants to kill you. And Jesus said it really clearly. He said, "The thief or the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." And so we're in the middle of this raging battle. And I believe that as we open our eyes to knowing that we're in this fight, then I believe we can be more effective in advancing the kingdom and being who Christ has called us to be. I want to go back to last week's scripture and just read a couple verses to bring us up to speed. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, we will be using that as a basis for this entire series. But in 6, 10 through 12, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And I think that there are times that we struggle to really fathom that there's a spiritual battle between good and evil, between God and his angels, between Satan and his demons, that it feels too far-fetched, it feels like a fairy tale, but it's a spiritual reality that we often can't see with our eyes, but we know something more is going on. In that verse we read, one thing I want to pull out of that for today is we need to get familiar. We need to know the schemes and strategy of the enemy. And if you were with us last week, you know that all throughout this day that we had planned last week, the power went out. First service, it's gone. And if you were in first service, you would know that as I began to talk about the enemy, the lights flickered. And then I talked a little bit more, and I can't remember what I said, but I was kind of at this point of climax, and the power just went out, right? We're all looking around and things. And, you know, how do we interpret that? You know, I don't know if it's the enemy, Satan, who's trying to stop that, or maybe it was God who gave a great object lesson, right? One of the way or the other, you know? Or maybe it's a squirrel who's chewing on the wrong wire. He learned his lesson, I guess. I don't know how they knew it was a squirrel. There must have been like black smoke and a puff of hair or something that was there. But regardless, I know the enemy's at work. And that was an object lesson for us. That was a metaphor for us. Here's what I know for sure about the enemy. He's looking to steal and kill and destroy. And as we work through this series of being in a fight, being in a battle, don't be surprised if you battle in your life more than normal. Don't be surprised if there's more conflict, if there's more irritation within you. Things that are kind of your preference or what you would like, whether it's church or a relationship or whatever it might be, all of a sudden that raises to the top and you want what you want. See, that's truly the fight that's going on. It's this battle within us. And God is saying, serve me, surrender to me. What's Satan saying? He doesn't show up at the door and with a pitchfork and say, follow me. He says, serve yourself. And that's the fight. And that's the battle, and it's very real. I want to share this with you over and over throughout this morning as we talk about the scheme or strategy of the enemy. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the one who has all authority. Jesus Christ defeated the enemy at the cross when he gave up his life, when he was resurrected from the dead. And in fact, Ephesians 6:10, Ross, could you put that back up again, Ephesians 6:10, the first one? This is the truth that as we work through this, that we focus on. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The power of God overshadows anything that the enemy can throw at us. Here's where I'd like to go this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. As you're turning there, there's Bibles in the seats. It'll be on the screen too. I'd like to just give a little background. The Apostle Paul is writing this. He planted churches all over, and this is a church in Corinth. And he is writing the Corinthian people. And as he does this, he recognizes that there's some conflict in the people. There's some things that aren't going well. And in fact, they are starting to do some things, and they're kind of saying, hey, Paul, I know you started the church. You kind of have the authority, but we don't really trust you anymore. And so Paul is writing, and he's justifying his authority. He's saying, listen, I'm your father in this. I'm the one that introduced you to God, and there's truth. And he's defending himself in this, but he's also recognizing what's happening. There's a battle going on in this church that he planted, whether they're going to follow after God or follow after the things that they like best. And you know, the church in Corinth had its difficulties. And sometimes people say, man, it'd be great to go back to the first century church. When it first started, they were right on track. Well, guess what? They had tough things too that they were fighting against and fighting for, just like we have today. I believe the church is right on track with where God wants it to be. And you know what? There's things that we fight against, and there's things that we fight for. You know, we fight for unity together. We fight against division. We fight for those who don't yet know Jesus Christ, because it changes life forever. We fight for that. In fact, Living Water is fighting for those who don't know Jesus Christ yet by exploring the idea of becoming a multi-site campus, of moving to that, and possibly going to Maslin and beginning another location where we can have services, where there'd be like 5 services, 3 here, 2 there, whatever it might look like. We want to do that. Why? To fight for those who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And by the way, just so you know, June 15th, we're going to serve at a car show as a church. We're going to serve there so that we can get a picture, get a feel, get a sense of whether that's where the Lord's leading us. So Paul is talking to the Corinthians here. And he is, again, defending his authority. He understands there's a war, there's a battle going on. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. There's a war going on. And Paul understands this war is in several places, but in particular right now, it's within his own church, and it's within folks that are part of the church. And he says, listen, there's some things going on here. And we don't fight the war the way everybody else does. And then one thing I want to pick out this morning, I want to talk about it. Maybe a word that you're very familiar with, or maybe this is the first time you've heard this word, but there's a key word in these verses, and the key word is stronghold. There's a stronghold that we need to fight against, he's saying. So let's go with that for a little bit. A stronghold in a physical sense, or in what we know, a great way to look at it is from a military perspective. A stronghold is a base or a fort that's established where the men gather, where they have all their common needs met, and then they go out from there and they try to advance in whatever their agenda is or whatever their objective is. A stronghold looks like a fort or a fortress. It's a place to dig in, a place to establish the base of operations. Another word for stronghold is like beachhead, and I believe that comes from the Allied forces who are attacking Normandy. And they had to put in tons of effort and energy and sacrifice so many lives so they could establish a beachhead where they could have their forces gather, where they could begin to attack the Nazi forces. It was a stronghold. So that's a physical sense. In a spiritual sense, what's it look like? Well, fortunately for us, the way Paul wrote this, he defines it. If you get your Bibles open, he talks about we need to demolish strongholds. In verse 5, it says, we demolish, and it fills in the blank of what a stronghold is. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's a stronghold, an argument or a pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Argument, let's start there. That one's probably pretty familiar for us. We all have been in an argument. We know how to argue. You know how to win an argument. You know who to not get in an argument with, right? But that's our own ideas, our thoughts, our reasoning. How can we justify what we're looking for, an argument? And the next one says any argument or pretension. I want to talk about that one for a moment. In Scripture, that word pretension means a high thing, something raised up, a barrier, something elevated, and specifically a false claim that's elevated, something that's not true is elevated. And it's something that goes against what God is saying. It's a pretension. In fact, the best way for me to remember that word, instead of pretension, I put in the word pretend. It's pretension. It's a pretend idea. It's something that's not real that gets put into place and raises itself above what God has to say. This is more important. No, it's not. God is. It's an argument or a pretension that go against the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God meaning what's in this book, for sure, the Scripture, but the understanding and being able to know God. There's an argument or a pretension, something that's raised up that keeps you from really understanding the true character of God or what he's about or who he is. It blinds us from what God says. And so here's a working definition of stronghold. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending to be bigger or more powerful than God. Pretending to be bigger or more powerful than God. And that's something that happens on a regular basis for us. A stronghold can be anything that steals or kills or destroys, that takes away from us. The scheme of the enemy or the strategy of the enemy is to plant these things in our minds, something that's more important than what God would have for us. And I'm going to share some examples in a little while specifically of some strongholds, but it's these ideas that are more important, more valuable, we need to put more stock in. And again, let me just pause. The enemy's strategy is to put these things into our minds, put them in our path. But remember, Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. Jesus, by far, wins this battle. In fact, I want to share with you how Jesus described this a little bit. In Luke 11, 21, 22, Jesus is talking to some religious leaders who have really set him off. They are thinking that they're speaking for God, but they're very much not speaking for God. And they have said, you know, Jesus, you do all these miracles. We've seen you do this. We know how you do it. It's by the power of Satan, Beelzebub. It's the devil that you do these things. And Jesus fires back at him. And here's what he says. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. And if you just hold it right there, Jesus is describing Satan. He's describing the enemy. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Meaning that as long as people don't understand that they are being under the influence of the enemy, as long as they haven't seen a picture of God, he keeps them right where he wants them to be because he's fully armed. Here's the next verse. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Jesus is describing himself as the stronger one. And when the stronger one attacks, he overpowers the enemy and he takes away his armor. Satan's armor is what Paul describes as strongholds. Because when Jesus shows up and the reality of his truth and who he is shows up, those strongholds disappear. Those thoughts, those ideas that this is better, this is stronger, this is what I need to believe in, go away because you begin to understand truth and life from God. we need to learn to identify these strongholds. And you might say, well, as a believer, you said Jesus has all the power. And at the cross, didn't Jesus defeat the enemy in every way, shape, and form? He did. In fact, he broke every stronghold. There is nothing that Jesus Christ didn't take care of. Well, why are we talking about it? Because here's what happens. We begin to go away from what this book says, even as believers. We begin to believe in our own experiences and what we see and what we think. And when we begin to believe things that aren't what God said, a foothold begins to develop. You see, this stronghold, and we'll read a scripture about a foothold in just a minute. This stronghold is something that keeps us from serving God. It keeps us from engaging in the fight. In fact, we're losing the fight when we're in this, but we can't see it. A stronghold will have control over us or control over you until we recognize it for what it is. A stronghold will have power until we recognize there's something here. We're following God. We think we're good to go. Hey, I believe in God. And then we begin to realize there's some things I'm believing that aren't lining up. So if the enemy shows up and says, hey, I want to sell you a really bad sale of goods. I want to just throw off on you a whole lot of things, hate and anger and all this terrible stuff. We'd be like, I don't want anything to do with that. But what he does is he sneaks in. Why, as believers in Christ, would there be any strongholds in our life? Well, number one, we may not see it. We talked about that a little bit. Number two, the truth is we may like some of the things in our lives, strongholds, more than we like the truth of God. You know what? This addiction that I carry helps me deal with life. It's my way out. Or this anger that I carry, you know what? It's a useful tool in getting what I want sometimes. It's really easy to manipulate people when I get really angry. Sometimes there's a tool that we're carrying we think is useful, and it's a stronghold that's stealing and killing and destroying us. Sometimes we live in this stronghold because we believe it's so big it can't be defeated. I've been like this all my life. In fact, my parents are like this. In fact, it's just part of who I am, and I just don't think anything can change. And so we walk in that stronghold. But a stronghold, at its very simplest form, is just this, a deception. It's Satan's deception for us. In fact, in John 8:44, Jesus again is talking to the religious leaders. They've hacked him off once again, and here's what he says to them. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And that's a description of our enemy. There is no truth in him. He deceives. He can make things look good for a little while, but he deceives. And that's really what a stronghold is. And maybe the best way to think about a stronghold and to think about our enemy, as believers in Christ, our enemy is really a paper tiger, all right? Strongholds are really this paper-thin wall or barrier that keeps us from God. But we look at that thing and we're like, I can't get through that. But I want you to think this picture. It's a paper-thin wall, just like I never took the opportunity to play football in high school. All right, but I remember the times that they would run out in the field and they'd get everybody psyched up, and what would they do? They'd run through that paper wall, right? And it would say, beat the Smithies or whatever it says on that outside thing. But they run through it and they bust through it, and it's like, oh, that's so cool. And they're cheering, the band's playing, all that stuff. They're breaking through something. I want you to know that the strongholds of the enemy are like that. They're fake, they're paper thin. And God wants to give us the ability to burst through those things. Now, the enemy, I know this about him. He's cunning, and he's deceptive, and he uses every tool that he can think of. And what he wants us to do is see that barrier in front of us, that stronghold, as a wall that's impenetrable. And so he paints it, or he puts it in such a way that you'd say, I could never do that. I would never be able to break through that. No, you can. God wants us to break through those things. I shared the story in first service, and a guy came up to me afterwards and said, just remember, those paper walls have a frame around them, because my team didn't realize that, and the first guy that ran through tripped, and it was all bit downhill from there. So, but it's a paper-thin barrier that once we know the truth of God, we can break out of those strongholds. Let me give you the flip side real quick. When we choose to live in these strongholds, and again, I'll name a few and explain some, when we choose to live in those, we give the enemy real power in our lives. We give the enemy real power to defeat us, real power to take us to a place that we never thought we would go. And so while he has no power in terms of what Jesus has done, when we trust him, if we give the enemy the right, he is powerful. And he'll take us to places we don't want to go. Here's the foothold verse I wanted to talk about for you for a minute. Because part of it is, how do we ever get started in this? We don't just want to be people who are filled with bitterness and hate and anger. Where does it start? I want to read for you Ephesians 4, 25, 26. Paul's talking again to the church. He says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Stay there for a minute, Ross, if you can go back. As the Apostle Paul's talking, he's going to give two examples here of what gets us into the place of these strongholds. And number one is when you're not truthful. You know, when you give 99% of the truth and you leave 1% out for your benefit, you're not truthful. And something's happening while you do that. Be truthful. We're all members of one body. Here's the next example, he says. "In your anger, do not sin." And we get angry, right? It's an emotion that we carry. "Do not let the sun go down in your anger." That's the second part. And in fact, I used to think that that's exactly how it should work. If I got angry, I need to solve it before the sun goes down, right? And for any of you in here, maybe if you're married, that works for you. But one of the first times Deb and I got into a really big disagreement, I know you're shocked by that that's ever happened in our house, but we got a really big disagreement. We both felt like it needed to be solved, you know, before we went to bed. That was kind of the idea. And what Deb didn't realize and what I really didn't realize is I get more irrational the later it gets. And so it was getting worse and worse and worse till finally there was enough wisdom to say we better stop. And so we found out that this verse doesn't mean take care of it before the sun goes down. This verse means take care of it quickly, right? So we do that. But what's being said here? Don't lie, all right? You got to be truthful, because something will happen if you're not. And here it says, when you get angry, don't let the sun go down. Don't hold on to that anger. Don't hold on to that. It'll turn into something new. And here's the result of it. Next verse. "And do not give the devil a foothold." So what happens when we aren't honest, when we're angry and we let that anger grow into broken relationship? And we could fill in 30 other things right here. When you let that go, it becomes a foothold for the enemy. And the word foothold means a spot or a place. It means an environment or an opportunity. When you stay angry, when you fall into these things and then you start to justify why you're angry or what you're doing, it creates this foothold in your life. Don't give the opportunity. I want to share with you just a couple of strongholds that we can have. And there are many. They're not all listed in Scripture specifically. I want you to remember, again, what's a stronghold? It's any argument or pretend idea that sets itself up above God. It's whatever puts itself at most importance in your life can be a stronghold. So here's a few. Here's the one that I know that we all deal with. It's the number one. And it's fear. It's fear. And I know that's number one for all of us, not because I've talked to every single one of you, but because the number one command in the Bible is don't be afraid. And God wouldn't have said that over and over again unless he knew as humans and was giving us the signal, listen, we all deal with fear. Maybe it's the fear of failure, that we're not going to accomplish, we're not going to be seen in life as somebody who has accomplished something. Or maybe it's the fear, worry, and anxiety of the things that you can't control. You don't know what's coming next. In fact, Jesus was talking to a group of people, and these people didn't have much. They were poor, and they didn't always know where the next meal was going to come from, or the next set of clothing, or how they were going to care for themselves or their family. And Jesus looked at them, and he said, listen, don't worry about what you're going to be eating and what you're going to be drinking and what you're going to be wearing. Don't worry about that. God will take care of it. Seek first God. Don't worry. He was going directly at those folks. I mean, outside of a place to sleep, our most important needs are food and clothing. He said, don't worry about them. And telling a group of people who, if anybody had a legitimate reason to worry, they did. Don't be afraid, for God will care for you. And what happens is this foothold starts to creep in. Will God really care for me? Will God really take care of me? Do I have enough in my emergency savings account? Do I have a plan in place? What happens if I lose my job tomorrow? I talk with some people, and there's a constant thing going on in their mind that they're about to lose their job. And the craziness in that is if you talk about and think enough that you're going to lose your job, what can happen? You lose your job. Because your employer's like, I have no confidence in this person. It's a foothold that grows. It's a fear that takes over. Here's another one that's big for all of us. Pride. Pride. And the root of pride is this. I can get it done myself. I can get it done on my own. And God, I know that you've said these things and you've got these principles, but I can get this done. And specifically, Paul addresses this for those who don't know Jesus Christ yet. 2 Corinthians 4:4, here's what he says. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He's saying that the enemy, the God of this world, has blinded their eyes. And you know what they're blinded with? They're blinded with a pride that says, yeah, I've heard the message, but you know what? I don't need that message because I've got something else to believe in. I don't need that message because I can handle this myself. In this room, we're predominantly made up of believers, people who've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. But even in this room, the foothold of pride can come in. Because we say to God, thank you, man, that we have a ticket to eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for dying so that I can be in heaven rather than in condemnation. Thank you. But you know what? As far as what's happening today or this week or this month, I got that handled, God. Because I know what I'd like to see. And all of a sudden that pride starts to creep in. It's just that small foothold, but it can get larger and larger and larger until pride is a stronghold in our life and we don't learn anything anymore. And we think that we know what's best. And we don't trust and we don't surrender. Here's another one. Unbelief. Unbelief. You might say, well, what's that? What's different than pride? Unbelief. We don't believe what God wrote us in this book. I keep coming back to this over and over again. That as Christians, we read some of these things in here and we go, well, that's good. You know what we think? That's good for somebody else. And it's not, I'm not just talking about the bad stuff. I'm talking about the good things. And God says, you're my masterpiece. We look at that and go, yeah, I can see God's masterpiece in them, and I can see it in you, and I can see it in you, but I can't see it in me. We don't believe these things that have been written. And in fact, God said something to everyone who's chosen to believe in Christ. He said this. He said, you're going to become just like my son. You're like, what? How could we do that? I'm sinful and I'm broken. I'll never get there. That's unbelief. Because he said to us, you're going to be conformed to the image of my son. Let me read this to you. In Romans 8:29, it says, for God knew his people in advance, that's each of us, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We are becoming like Jesus Christ. Don't ever buy into the lie that I'm a believer, but I'm just going to stay in this broken, stuck life until someday I'm rescued and get a chance to go to heaven. Now, we're never going to become perfect like Jesus. It's impossible to be perfect, but we can become like him, becoming more and more like him every day. And we live in this unbelief that we look at God's word and he says, I want to bring restoration to you. I want to bring healing to you. And we're like, well, maybe for somebody else. It's a foothold where we start to doubt. Did God really say? By the way, that's the first time as humanity we broke down, didn't it? God came to Eve and said, did God really say? She's like, well, yeah, and she repeated what God said. And then the enemy said, did God really say? And she's like, no, I don't think so. It happened that fast. Unbelief is another one for all of us. Let me share this one. I talk about this regularly because I see it destroy lives, destroy churches. Offense. I can't say it enough that we've got to be a group of people, a church, individuals who live life unoffended. Because when we're offended, it destroys and it kills. And it breaks down not only families, but churches and communities and schools. An offense is when somebody does something wrong to us and we won't let it go. And maybe they did something that was very wrong and they haven't even asked to be forgiven. If we stay offended by that, it destroys. Or maybe they have asked for forgiveness. You're like, I can't forgive that. You've got to. Or maybe they've done something that they didn't even know about that's offended you or offended me, and we hang on to it. And I'll tell you what, this foothold is probably the easiest one to fall into that I know of. You know what? My friend Matt over here, I keep setting up breakfast appointments with him, and he never shows up. And that's not true. I stiffed him like twice. I totally forgot. And you know what? Matt's had so much grace for me. Also, I told him I would buy breakfast for him, so that helps that I'm buying the breakfast next time. But Matt could take it that I don't care about him, that I don't have time for him, that he's not important, and deep down he could have this offense that he begins to carry. And you know what? It'll destroy the relationship between us. And I'll guarantee you, if he keeps it, he won't be at church here in a year. And if he keeps it, he may not be in any church at all because this offense starts to grow, right? Don't be offended. I could talk about that forever. We've got to let those things go. I know they hurt sometimes, but that foothold, spouses, husbands and wives, let those offenses go. Don't live a marriage with offense at the center of it, with unforgiveness at the center. Families, same thing. Offense. Here's the last one I'll do as a block. Religion. What's religion? Religion is a power or a form of godliness, but without the power. Religion is, if I do A, B, and C, then I know that I'm okay with God. And the reality is, religion isn't about a to-do list. Religion is about this relationship. It's about truly understanding and coming to know God. So what's a stronghold? It's a argument or pretension that sets itself up from the knowledge of God, against the knowledge of God. That's what religion does. There's arguments. I bet you've never heard of a church that argued before, or a church that disagreed, or different churches that disagreed over theology. They get all their arguments going and their pretensions where they think they know how to describe God, and they miss God altogether. I know some people who are incredibly dedicated, pious in a good way, meaning they go through their religious routines, and they do everything just right. They don't break a single rule, but they're as far from God as anybody that I know. Because it's about a religion. And you know what? Don't let a foothold get started. That to follow Jesus, you have to do this and this and this and this. You have to give grace and freedom to those around you. We interpret things a little differently. We understand a little differently. There are people who can't come to Living Water because I wear jeans. I understand that. I'm not offended by that. But I only own a couple pairs of pants that aren't jeans, and I don't know where they are. No, I finally bought some that fit the other day, so we're good. Religion steals, kills, and destroys. Here's five different things that I put, you know, in the sense of this is what strongholds do. They get into our lives and they create barriers and walls that keep us apart from each other, apart from what God has and who He has and who He is. Some others: addiction or lust. A rejection. I talked with somebody from another service who shared about the fact that they were adopted and that their mother had abandoned them. And he had a deep sense of rejection that he's working through and trying to figure out how do I live in an acceptance and how God loves me. You know, by the way, as we talk about strongholds, I've got a tool for you I want to explain in just a moment. But as we do this, for some of you, you'll be able to figure some things out right away and give them over to God. And He can free you and release you and help you to see things differently. But some of you have issues, not some, all of us have issues that run very deep, that are very much a process as we begin to understand. I don't want these strongholds in my life. Why? That's how the enemy works. He creates these things to keep us separated from the very God who loves us. Addiction, rejection, bitterness, control, anger, the list can go on and on. But we have weapons that are not of this world. That was at the beginning of the scripture. What's this world use? Arguing, reason, manipulation. We use different tools to try to break down our disagreements, to win, to do it our way. But the tools that we have aren't the world's tools. They're very different. First and foremost, it's based on the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His resurrection, that the Holy Spirit is alive in us and does things that when we're obedient, we don't even know how He does it or what happens, but He breaks down barriers. He breaks down strongholds. There's scripture that we have and truth that we share, and we extend grace to each other. These are all weapons that we carry. And here's one that's very very rubber meets the road kind of thing. Here is a tool that God has given us to defeat this kind of stuff, and it's transparency. Because as long as we keep things hidden, the brokenness that we carry or the stronghold that we carry in us, and don't tell anybody, it stays. But the moment that we begin to share that with somebody that we can trust, another believer who will walk with us, who will pray with us, those things begin to be broken down. It's the weapon of the world is not transparency. It's one that God has given us. And so we demolish these arguments. We demolish these strongholds. And by the way, the word demolish means extinction. The Apostle Paul wrote, he says, I want these strongholds to become extinct. I want these footholds to be gone forever. And Living Water, that's what I want for us, to be broken, gone forever. So what's this look like? I don't have my bulletin. I hope you have a bulletin. If you don't, you should pick one up every week because they're really awesome. Okay. If you don't have it, this is going to be on the screen too. But there's a handout in there. There's a paper that I want you to have today and throughout this week. And really what this is like a grid. It's like a filter for us to understand, are there strongholds in our life? Are there footholds in our life that we can begin to identify? Because again, if you don't even see them, you don't know that they're there. You don't know that the enemy's robbing and stealing from you. If you do know they're there, this begins to be a filter to help walk through it. And I would again, you know, this morning will be more, you're doing this personally, but you can walk through it with people who you trust. It's a great small group, very small group type of thing to work through together. But here's what it looks like. Here's this filter. How do we identify strongholds? How do we replace them with godly beliefs or break those and not walk in the power of the enemy, but be able to fight? Here's the first. We need to ask God. And by the way, this whole thing's about asking the Holy Spirit, who lives in you as a believer. He's your teacher. He reveals things. You ask him, what negative beliefs or expectations am I carrying? Things that I believe that are not supported by Scripture. All right? And if you have that paper in front of you, there's an example. And the example on this one says, people won't accept me. That's a negative belief. That's a negative expectation that's not scriptural, that people will not accept me. Because Scripture talks about those who follow God find favor. All right? So what's that negative belief or expectation that you carry? And when you have those, what I found out in the last couple of years as I've been just working through this is when you have a negative belief or expectation, there's usually something paired with it right away, almost always. There's a vow that you make. You don't even necessarily know that you make the vow, but you create a behavior that supports this negative belief or expectation. So the next step is, what's your vow? It's the regular response to this negative belief. What do you just continue to do? So in this example, it says, people won't accept me. Well, that's not truth, but yet I'm believing it. So because of that belief, when I really think about this, I ask God to help me understand, I realize that everywhere I go, I put up a protective wall. You see how the enemy works? Because first of all, you believe this lie that no one wants to accept me. And once you believe it, you start to behave in a way that says, I'm going to put up a protective wall so I never get close to anybody, so they never know who I really am, so I feel cold to them. And guess what those people are going to do? They're not going to accept me. See, that belief turns into a behavior that supports the negative belief. And that's how the enemy wants to work. That's what a foothold is. That's what a stronghold is. You don't even realize that you're generating it and regenerating it again and again. Now, here's the part that gets great. If you experience what's on the other side of this line, and I know that you will, there's kind of a heavy line in the middle, this sets you free. And here's what the third thing says. It says, however God says. What does God really say in his word? Or what does he want to speak to you through his spirit that agrees with this word? A truth for you. And when it happens, somebody else could, you could write it down and give it to somebody else and they could read it and they'd be like, oh, that's good. When God speaks to your heart these words, it changes. It sets you free. It's his word to you. It's his word of life to you. So in the example, people won't accept me, so I put up a protective wall. However, God says, in this example, it says, I'm going to give my love away because that's what God asks. I'm going to love others. And when you hear that, it begins to transform who you are and put you in the mindset of, all right, God, you've spoken that, so I'm going to put that stronghold behind, and now I'm going to purpose in the Holy Spirit to do something. And I love this phrasing, I purpose in the power of the Holy Spirit. I purpose by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will, and the example says, stay open to loving others. I'm going to be open to that. I'm not going to get closed up. I want to share with you, I worked through this a couple of years ago, and I continue to work through it as a filter for me to try to stay alert to the fact of, am I picking up some of these things that aren't God? Am I believing some of these things? Or is there something happening in me? And so as I work through this, I want to share an example that's really close to me. I mean, it affects me. And so what I realized as I worked through this was I was carrying a negative belief or expectation in my life. And the expectation was, nothing I do is quite good enough. I can't quite do anything good enough. It's okay. I do all right. I can even do better than some, but it's never good enough. All right? And so that was my belief. And what happened out of that is I made a vow to myself, and here's the vow. I will never give 100%, right? I found out that it was really easy to do B-level work. I was the champion of B's and C's because that was easy. And you know what? I never got rejected. I could accomplish those, but I never put in the A effort. And so I'm not given 100%. But then here's what changed for me as I realized this, is God spoke to me something. And what he said was this, Mark, in your weakness, I'm made strong. And what God was saying was, the effort that you give, I don't care what it ends up being, I will use, right, for my purpose and for my glory. And all of a sudden, things start to change for me. Because really, at the core of this negative belief was fear. I was afraid of being seen as a failure, or I was afraid of being seen as not as good as somebody else. And so what comes out of this is a new purpose for me. I'll give 100%. And if that looks 100% foolish to someone else, so be it. Right? Because God's going to use this. And I all I can share with you is that that changed my perspective. And this whole fear thing that I carried started to be broken down. I'd love to tell you that there's no fear at all anymore, but I can tell you there's a whole lot less fear in my life than there was in the past. This tool is great, but the truth is it's the power of God that's changing you. This morning, as we finish with another set of worship, I'm going to give you several minutes before any words come up on the screen. The band's just going to play. That I want you to work through this. It'll be on the screen as well in case you don't have this. And I would love for you, would you honestly, and I'll pray with you before I'm done, would you honestly say, Holy Spirit of God, I know that you're very real. Would you reveal to me any places there's a foothold or stronghold in my life, places I'm believing things that aren't true? You know, as I think about what can happen, somebody actually came up to me and said, hey, are you going to break those blocks with your head at the end? No. How about your hand? No. I can't. And maybe somebody in here can. After service, you could try. But here's the truth. God breaks this stuff down. God destroys these. When we agree with him and his truth and say, God, I want to line up with you. God, I surrender to you. I want to walk with you. He breaks these things down, removes these, and then we have the opportunity to be obedient as he breaks these down for us to live in his plans and his ways. I want to share with you one more time. Yep, the enemy's cunning. He's deceitful. He's got plans. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. But here's what it says about who God is in John 4:4, 1 John. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them. You've overcome any stronghold. You've overcome any of these things. You've overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the one who is in you is greater than any of these things. And he wants to destroy these. He wants to give you his power and his life. And you know what? I can say confidently, there's not a believer in this room who doesn't deal with some type of foothold or stronghold. Don't let these few moments pass by this morning and just be like, hey, lunch is soon. We'll be out of here soon. Don't let these few minutes pass by without God speaking into your heart. Will you pray with me? God, we welcome you. God, we welcome you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask as we look at these questions, as we sit for a little while, that you would show us where we carry beliefs that aren't in agreement with your word and vows that we've made as a result. And God, would you this morning in these few minutes or sometime today or this week, would you speak truth and life into us so that we can not only win this fight for our lives but for those around us. We can walk with you. Speak to us, God. Thank you.
next few moments, we're going to continue with worship. And if you need more time to work through this, please do so. But know that it starts with surrendering to the God of the universe. Starts with surrendering to Him and Him alone. Down on my knees again.
So Jesus, we come before you and we know that by your grace and by your blood and by your power we are free and that you've broken these things. We know that you're all powerful, that you are the stronger man. There's no question. And God, we ask right now that in the name of Jesus and by the power of the resurrection over the grave, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that footholds and strongholds will be broken from our lives and broken from the life of this church, God. We want to see these things become extinct, to demolish all these arguments and pretensions that go against you. And Living Water, if you agree with that, I'd like for all of you to stand with me. Together, Lord, together we say, we're yours, we surrender. In the name of Jesus Christ, may all footholds and strongholds, may all arguments against our God be demolished so that we can serve you wholeheartedly. God, we are yours. You are so good, and we follow you with everything that we have.
You are good. You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are love. You are love on display for all to see. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling, you are true, even in my wandering, you are joy,
you've looked at your life lately, whose name is your heart singing for? Through the situations in your life, whose name is crying out from your heart? Is it your name? Is it somebody else's name? Or is it Jesus? Whose name is my heart crying out for? We have to ask that question so this will be more than a song, but it will be the truth of our lives. That we can each pray that Jesus would reign in our hearts. I was reading a book by A.W. Tozer, and he said that there's only one throne on our hearts. And we can put one thing on that throne. It's up to us what we put there. It can be ourselves, it could be something else, or it can be Jesus. And that throne was designed for Jesus to sit on it. And our lives don't make sense, and they don't work until he does sit on that, and him alone, nothing else. So who's sitting on the throne of your heart this morning? Let's each ask ourselves that question and break down anything else that would be in the way, anything else that would try to take away from him leading our lives and having authority in our lives. As we do that, we could see these bricks shattered in our lives as his power becomes stronger than our struggles and our shortcomings, as he becomes greater in our weakness. That's what he promises us. That's who we can become. If, as you're working through this, you need somebody to talk to and somebody to just help sort through these things, there'll be some people up here in the front to the right of the stage. They're a part of our restoration ministry. They can help you just walk through your life and your story and make sense of it, connect some dots. This is a process. We need people to help us walk through it. And I would encourage you to also think about starting with the person who's closest to you. Just after this time, my wife came up to me and shared some things with me that she's working through. Have your spouse help you with this. No one else is better equipped to do that. This is a powerful tool that we can use to grow in our walks with God. A couple announcements for you as we finish. On June 15th, we have an opportunity to serve Maslin, and we're going to be a part of their car show that they have there where thousands of people come through. We could show them who we are as a church and investigate whether this is where we need to have our multi-site next year. So please be a part of that. We need some more volunteers on June 15th. Also, if you smell some heavenly Gerber's chicken barbecue as you walk out the doors, you're not imagining things. It's really there. And you can come and support us in our mission trip to Los Angeles. We're taking 36 students and leaders there this summer. You can come and do that. Take out and dine in, your choice. That's right after the service. And lastly, as we go into this week, let's put on our armor. Let's get ready because we step into a battle zone out there in this world. It's invisible, but it's very real. And what are we going to do when the moment of temptation strikes? What are we going to do when the battlefield is right in front of us? Are we going to give in to these strongholds again and keep living in them? Or are we going to break them and stand firm on the rock of Christ that we have? That's up to you, and that's up to me. So let's be the church. Let's be Jesus' sons and daughters and break through these strongholds and let Jesus show us what he has in store for our lives. Have a great week.